Blog Talk Radio.
You are strong and mighty. There's no one else like you. You are great and powerful. No one can do the things you do. You're the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great God. You are great. You're a great God. You are great.
You are strong and mighty.
Yeah, yeah.
No one else like you.
No one can
you
do the things. The beginning.
Amen, amen, amen. Welcome to another live broadcast of It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. This is Apostle Gregory R. Pinson, Sr. Man, I tell you what, that was the Boys and Girls Choir of Harlem. Great God. What an awesome song, man. That was awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know what I'm saying to God? Glory to God. I just got a few things I really want to touch on before we get started tonight. I just read something that was so shocking and so disturbing. If you're a pastor, an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, you need to hear this and hear it well. The president of Russia, Putin, Mr. Putin, President Putin, has now made it mandatory law that if you're coming into Russia to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be fined, possibly imprisoned, and punished. Hear me and hear me well. You can no longer, without the permission of the Kremlin, go into Russia spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to unbelievers. Hear me and hear me well. People, most churches in Russia are in people's homes. And if they are found giving literature, Bibles, or speaking God's word to individuals that are unbelievers trying to convert them to the belief of Christianity, there is a fine imposed, imprisonment in place, and possible different types of punishments. Saints of God, let me tell you something. This is not to give you fear, because the Bible teaches us that this type of rhetoric is going to take place. See, that's why the Bible says, put this word in a secret place of your heart so that you will have it when they take it away from you. See, we've got to understand that there's coming a time, and it's happening even in this disposition of time, where the word of God is going to be against the law. And we got to stand on his word. This is why we've got to study to show ourselves approved. This is why we've got to take the time to learn the great news of Jesus Christ. Believe it, receive it, and walk in it. One country, Russia, is already talking about imprisoning ministers of the gospel. You cannot go to Russia. Now watch this. Unless you get permission from the Kremlin. If you get permission from them, then you can come in there and you can speak the word. But even that, you cannot walk the streets giving out tracts, trying to convert unbelievers. That would still be against the law. But you'll be able to speak in designated homes. This is interesting. Because, see, this is just the beginning, my brothers and sisters. This is the beginning of what is to come, what is to happen. This is the one main reason why I am teaching this block of instruction that I'm teaching tonight. And I'm not preaching. I am literally in teacher mode. And I'm going to teach this thing, so you need to have a pen, paper, highlighter, so that you can take copious notes. Please, take good notes, because you're going to have to rely on what you learn. Because trust me, it's coming this way. It's coming this way just as sure as Peachtree goes to Buckhead. Amen? But that's not no reason. There's no reason for you to fear. There's no reason for you to get alarmed. This is prophesied in the Bible. This is already in the Bible. The Bible, God already knew this was going to take place. And you better believe there is a ram in the thicket for each and every one of you. But I just need you all to be aware, if you're planning on traveling into Russia or into that region, period, make sure that you understand the new rules of what they feel religion and how it should be taught, and where you can and where you cannot teach it, because you will go to jail. Amen. Mr. Putin, lock me up. If I could get on a plane right now and go to Russia, trust me, I would stand in the middle of the Communist Party, and I would spread the good news that Jesus is coming soon. Lock me up. Throw away the key so I can minister to all of the unsaved individuals in the jail. Lock me up, Mr. Putin, because I'm not going to stop teaching this word. Lock me up because I'm looking for Russian individuals to make my Facebook friends so I can tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And I'm telling you, it's just that serious with me. It really is. Another note, President-elect Trump, saints, we got to get better. I'm hearing too many believers, too many individuals calling themselves preachers, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, bishops, talking about they're not going to pray, they're not going to help, they're not going to do anything for this man. Let me tell you all something. I wouldn't vote for him if you gave me $1 million. I still wouldn't vote for Trump. But the thing about it is we've got to do what the Bible says. We've got to stand on every morsel of the word of God. I may not like this individual. I might not. And I've got my reasons why I don't particularly care for Mr. Trump. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I need all of you all in your quiet times, write this down. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Matter of fact, read verses 1 through 5. And you're going to see why we must pray for this individual. It's hard. Yes, it is. But it's God. Put away your personal agenda. Put away your personal preference. Put away your personal thoughts. And realize that the Word of God teaches us, and not just teaches us, but it instructs us, that we must pray for the kings and those who are in high authority so that there can be peace in the land. Saints of God, I want there to be peace. I want you all to live victorious lives. So I need you all to, in your quiet time, in your prayer time, I want you to pray for President-elect Trump. Pray for his safety. Pray for his well-being. Pray for God to touch his heart. Pray for God to change his mindset. Now, see, Donald Trump was the best thing since bubblegum when he was on The Apprentice. All y'all liked him then. All you all. You know, it's funny because I got a lot of believers' friends. Man, I gotta watch The Apprentice. Kobe Bryant's on The Apprentice. I gotta watch The Apprentice. Such and such is on The Apprentice. I gotta watch The Apprentice. I want to hear him say, "You're fired." Oh, y'all liked him then. What took that like away and gave it hate? Why do we hate this man? Can we love our brothers and, excuse me, can we love God and hate our brothers? I think it's impossible. I really do. So take your personal agendas away. Open up your mind, open up your heart, and allow God to do what God called you to do. Amen? Do what God called you to do. Don't follow the norm of people. Follow what God called you to do. And when you do that, God is going to be well pleased. Amen? Amen. Well, once again, I want to welcome each and every one of you to another live broadcast of It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. This is Apostle Gregory R. Pinson, Sr., in with you this night, teaching God's Word. Make sure you call a friend, text a friend, inbox somebody, email somebody, tell them, say, hey, look, y'all need to listen to the man of God tonight. You need to listen to what Apostle Pinson has to say, because he's going to teach like never before. And I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. It really is, and I hope you guys learn something from that. But before we do anything, you know what we got to do. We've got to go to that throne room of grace. We've got to go to that prayer closet. We got to bow down. We got to lay down. We got to pray and trust God. So let's go over to South Georgia to Evangelist Beverly Howard. God bless you, woman of God. How are you tonight?
God bless you. God bless you. All is well.
Amen. Come on and take us to that throne room of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Father God. Lord, we just humble ourselves unto you even the more, Father. Father, as we approach your throne of grace, your throne of power, your throne of love, Father God, we just exalt who you are, because you are the God of more than enough. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and yet the end. You are a sovereign Lord. Hallelujah. And Father God, we just stretch our hands to thee. For Lord God, we know from whence our help comes from. Father, some of us tonight are heavy, heavy laden, burdened down. But Father God, you said in your word, do not let your heart be burdened. Hallelujah, Lord. Do not let your heart be burdened. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. For in my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. As if it was not so, he would not have said so. And he goes to prepare a place for you. But the place that he's prepared for you, hallelujah, is right here on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you for your lordship. We thank you for your majesty. We thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Father, we just humble ourselves to you and give you all of our concerns this night. Father, you know all that is going on. There is nothing that you don't know. And Lord God, we exalt you. We lift you up and we magnify your name. Father, hallelujah, Lord. We bless you this night. We thank you this night. For being the God of everlasting, for being the only true living God, and we love you. We love you with our whole heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you this night for the listeners, whether it's live and or archive. Father, hallelujah, Lord, let the teaching come forth this night that our spirit man will take heed to it. And that we can apply it to our lives even the more. Father God, we thank you for every listening ear right now. Father, we thank you for those that are in leadership. Father, you know the outcome before it was even ordained. And we thank you for it. Because there's nothing that you don't know. And Father God, we ask for discerning spirit even the more. Help us, Lord God, to pray for our enemies. For as we pray for our enemies, we are putting coals on their heads. Father God, I ask that you change mindsets tonight. I ask that you change hearts tonight. Father God, I ask for breakthroughs, delivery, miracles, signs, and wonders even the more. Father God, I pray for all those that are hospitalized, those that have been diagnosed with diseases. In the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the finished works of Jesus because he said that by his stripes you are already healed. And we claim that now. We receive that now. Father God, I ask that you go through every quarter in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, those that are in hospice and catastrophic conditions. Father God, I ask that you restore their blood cells, their veins, every muscle, every bone broken, fractured, and or deteriorating. Their mindset, Lord God, give them the mindset of Jesus even the more. Father God, I pray for the skeletal section in their bodies. Father God, every cell, Father God, we just thank you right now because of the finished works of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Shatta. Father God, I pray for all of those that are apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, strengthen your people even the more to teach the gospel of Jesus throughout the land, all over this globe. Father God, let no hindering spirit stop your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, strengthen your people, Father. Even the more. Give them the mindset, Lord. Give them, let their feet be shod with the preparation of spreading the gospel globally. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for your grace, your mercies, your love, your power. We thank you, Father. We just bless you for it, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for all of those that have served in active duties in the military and armed forces and the policemen, the firemen. Father God, as these individuals put on their uniforms and badges, I pray that they put on and keep on the whole armor of God. Father God, I pray for President Obama and Vice President Biden and the newly elect Donald Trump and the Vice President Pence. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, give newly elect President Trump the mindset of Christ even the more. Father God, touch him. Touch, protect, heal, and deliver. Father, let it be all of you and none of him. When he opens his mouth, Father God, let it be all of you speaking, that it will even surprise him. Father, he is now the president of these United States, where you have your people. Father, you said that your sun would shine on the just as well as the unjust. Father God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for being God all by yourself. You were not elected. You were already existed before time. And we thank you. We bless you for it, Lord God. And Father, as the word comes forth this night, strengthen your manservant even the more. Strengthen him, God, where he is weak. Lift him up even the more to spread the gospel globally. Father God, we thank you that everyone that comes in contact with this ministry now and in the days to come will be divinely connected. Hallelujah to you, Father God. We just thank you. We love you. We bless you. And I ask of this prayer unto you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you for strength, Lord God.
Yes.
Even we bless you. Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes.
Save your people, God. Have mercy on us. Even the more, God.
Yes.
You can do it, Lord God. You can change. You can change. Lord God, if you did it before, you'd do it again.
Have your way.
You do the impossible over and over and over and over, not just in my life, but countless others. And we just thank you for it, God. We bless you, Father. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Evangelist Beverly Howard. I tell you, that's a praying woman. That's a woman who knows how to get a prayer into heaven. Amen. Well, we're going forward right now with the recipe of life. And for all my new listeners, the recipe of life is when we open up the Bible, that B-I-B-L-E, that basic construction manual before leaving Earth book, and we start to read and understand what is called scripture, or what we call the recipe of life. There's a recipe of life in that book, in those 66 books, just for you. Yes, it is. In those books, there's something that God has just for you. Well, tonight, we're going to go over to Evangelist Pinson, and we're going to allow her to give us the recipe of life this night like never before. God bless you, woman of God. Love you so much. And I know you've got something sweet for us to eat.
God bless you, man of God, and I love you more. Tonight, I am going into the book of Psalms. I'm going into the 56th chapter, beginning in the first verse. It's regarding trusting in God's care in the midst of fear. When all seems dark, when truth still shines bright, when God is for us, those against us will never succeed. And it goes as this. Oh, God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? They are always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching me every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness in your anger, O God. Bring them down. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept me at my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life, giving light. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
That was a good recipe, Apostle. I mean, Evangelist, God bless you. Love you
Thank
so
you.
Much. Amen. Amen. Love you so much. Amen. Saints of God, well, are you ready for the word of God? Are you ready to learn something different, something new, something powerful, and something that you can trust in? Do me a favor. Inbox somebody. If you, a lot of you are on Facebook, inbox somebody. Tell them that we're on right now. Tell them that we're here to do something that God desires us to do, and that's to teach. To teach this gospel of Jesus Christ. To teach with simplicity and understanding. I'm here to tell you, go ahead, inbox them right now. Text them right now. Call them right now and let them know that they need to tune in to this word this night. Amen. Well, I'm ready to go forward, and I'm telling you, I'm just believing God to do a great work. This is going to be part two, getting God's power in your life. Getting God's power in your life. Father God, I come before your throne of grace today to say thank you. Thank you for giving wisdom. Thank you for giving understanding. Thank you for giving measure. Lord God, now I ask that you allow me to decrease so that yet you can increase. Use thy vocal cords. Use my heart. Use my mind. Use my soul, Lord God. Father, you're so welcome in this place. And tonight, I ask that you touch every listener. Open up their ear gates just a little bit wider and open their minds to you even the more and watch what happens when they do. Father, and I give you the honor, glory, and the praise through your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, saints of God, tonight, getting God's power in your life, part two, is the title of tonight's message. I just want to backtrack. If I want to digress just for a few seconds and bring everybody up to speed that wasn't tuned in on last week, on Thursday night. And one of the things, there was three elements that I told you that we must possess for the power to be in your life. The first element, number one, you get God's power by praying. You get God's power by praying. If you do not have any power in your life, that tells me one thing, you're not praying. Prayer and power go hand in hand. It goes together. So one, we get the power through prayer. The second thing is you get God's power by taking risks to obey God. Oh, my God. See, yeah, this one had people stumbling, and I got a lot of emails or inboxes about this one. Let me explain this one more time. Let me explain this. You get God's power by taking risk to obey God. When you take a risk to do what God tells you to do, even when it's hard or unpopular, even when it may cost you, even when it does not make sense to you, even when nobody else is doing it, God will pour out his power on your life. You know, one of the easiest ways to say and understand what does it mean What do you mean, Apostle, when you say take a risk to obey God? One of the things is by walking out on faith. You've been talking about you want to do certain things. You want to obtain certain things. Walk out on faith. You want to go into full-time ministry. Walk out on faith. You want to travel. Walk out on faith. You want to move. Walk out on faith. You want a new car. Walk out on faith. You want that wife, my brother. Walk out on faith and get that ring. Oh, come on, somebody. But make sure that's the woman God told you to get. You got to walk out on faith. You got to do what God's called you to do. But the third thing to get God's power, you get God's power by not giving up. You can't have a give up spirit. You can't have a, I quit spirit. You cannot get the power of God within inside of you. Always willing. Oh, my back hurts. I can't do it today. My foot hurts. Oh, I can't praise today. Oh, my wife won't give me none. I can't do nothing today. Look. Shut up, suck it up, and do it. See, when we get to the point where we're doing everything God has called us to do, when we don't give up because everybody else is giving up, Russia said you can't come over and pray, you can't come over and teach. Go on and teach anyway. You want to really get up under their skin? Find some Russian friends and inbox them, friend them. And start teaching them about Jesus Christ. And if you don't want to do it because you're afraid, give them my information. Give them my information. I'm not backing down when God's backing me up. Why back down when God is backing you up? The only reason is because you're afraid. It's time to get fear out of your life. There's no power with fear. Don't give up. In order for God to grow in your faith, he's got to test it. Oh, your faith will be tested. Trust me. When you're going through your difficult and delays and dead ends and despairs and discouragement, God is teaching you to trust him. If you hang on just a little while longer, God, it will eventually bring you out and bless you. God's going to do that. You got to have the faith, the fortitude, and the understanding that if I want the power of God, I've got some things I must do. There's some things that I must implement. And these three things you must put into your repertoire. You must put this and implement this on an everyday basis. Because there's going to come some time when you're ready to throw in the towel and quit. See, I'll be the first one to tell you. I still say Hillary Clinton threw the towel in too quickly. I wouldn't care if he had 290 electoral votes. I would not have quit. Wouldn't have given in. Wouldn't have said, hey, you won. It's on you now. I wouldn't have done it. Would not have done it. When I was homeless, I didn't quit. Yeah, I said it. When I was homeless, I didn't give in. I never turned my back on God. And I cannot allow you, my brother, you, my sister, to turn your back on God. You've got to stay planted firm in the will of God. Apostle, you were homeless? Yes, I was. At one point, wasn't long. I won't say I was really homeless. I'll just say I was without a place to reside for a few days. But God turned that thing around so quick, it was crazy. Why? Why did God do that? Why did God allow the raven to bring me food and meat for me to eat? Because he knew that I was not going to back down when he was backing me up. When that takes place, what does that mean? That means the power of God is on you. Now, what power? Write this down. Just put down what power. First, let's investigate what power is and therefore how that applies to believers. The dictionary defines power as 1, the ability to work, 2, the ability or capability to act or perform efficiently. 3, extends force and strength. Oh, I like that. I like number 3. It extends force and strength. And number 4, ability to exercise control over another. Wow. Power. What is it? I just told you. Power is awesome. Power is awesome in the right hand. Some terms that we are familiar with in regards to power are watts and horsepower. These are measurements of work. Therefore, for our purpose, we find that power is the ability to do something. Write this down, because I'm giving you straight nuggets tonight. I got to cut to the punch. Write this down, please. Power is the ability to do something. It's just that easy. It's just that simple. It's just that clear. However, the Bible reveals two aspects of power that must work together in order for us to obtain effective, to stay effective in the power of God. There's power in the Bible. Excuse me. There are many Hebrew and Greek words that are translated into English words, into the English word of power. However, there are two that I would like to focus on for the purpose of this block of instruction. These are the Greek words dunamis and exous. Dunamis, you spell D-U-N-A-M-I-S, D-U-M-A-N-I-X-I-S. The second word is exous, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Let me describe what these mean. The word dunamis describes the ability to do something. For an example, a person trains with weights, has the ability to lift a certain amount of weight. It also refers to might or strength. Some scriptures refer to this word as follows in the book of Matthew 6 and 13. Write these scriptures. I'm not going to read them. I want you to write them down because I want to have enough time to give you a lot of information tonight. Write down Matthew 6 and 13, Matthew 22 and 29, Luke 4 and 36, Luke 5 and 17, Luke 9 and 1. Then you have Acts 1 and 8, 3 and 12, 6 and 8. The word exodus or exousios describes the authority or privilege to do something. It is one thing to have the ability, and it's another to have the authority to exercise that ability. Oh, wait, hold up. Now listen to what this word says. It is the authority or privilege to do something. You've got authority by God to do something. It's not just authority, but it's also what? It's a privilege. So write this word down. Write this down. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. The authority or privilege to do something. Okay? It is one thing to have the ability. And you guys got to really get this. It's one thing to have the ability, and it's another to have the authority to exercise that ability. Some scripture references are as follows. Now read these on in your quiet time. Matthew 28 and 18, Mark 3 and 15, Mark 6 and 7, Luke 4 and 36, Acts 5 and 4, Romans 13 and 1. And if you need those scriptures, I'll be more than happy to repeat those again. But now this is where it gets really interesting. So now we see two things at work here. These are the ability to do something and the authority to do something. Okay, so God just implemented something here. He's given you the ability, but not only the ability. See, if you don't have the authority, you can have the ability, but it doesn't operate in its fullness. Okay? It will operate to a degree, but it won't operate in its fullness without the what? Authority, and also vice versa. You can have the authority, but not have the ability. In order to do something, we must therefore be capable of doing it, and we have the right to do it in Jesus' name. Oh my God. There again, you need to write this down. You need to write this down. In order to do something, we must therefore be capable of doing it, and we have to have the right to do it in Jesus' name. Amen? But I would like to briefly discuss the concept or phrase in Jesus' name. What does this mean? We often suffix our prayers with this phrase. Consider the following scriptures, John 14 and 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. This is Jesus speaking. So that the Son of Man bring glory to the Father. Now watch this. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, for people who are coming into the body of Christ, people who are on the outside looking into the body of Christ, and a whole bunch of those folks that have one foot in the church and one foot out the church, now you all really want me to break this down, and I'm going to. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. What Jesus is merely telling you right here, if you are in relationship, see, there it is. There it is. There's the cost. There's the price. There's the ticket. You first must be in relationship. You first must have a relationship with God. You have got to be in a oneness with him. You must be able to dwell with him. And then when you're in that position of love fest, when you're in that position of oneness with him, then guess what? If you call upon the name of Jesus, then guess what he's saying? He said, anything you ask of me, I'll give it to you. Anything. If you're looking for healing, if you're looking for finances, you're looking for romance, whatever the case may be. But see, one thing about it is, now watch this. But Doc, I've been asking God for a husband, or I've been asking God, Apostle, I've been asking God for a husband, and it hasn't happened. Wait a little while longer, Betsy. Wait a little while longer, Susie. If you just stay focused, remember, you can't have that give up spirit. You've got to stay focused. You've got the authority and you've got the power. So what you need to do is stay in your prayer life and believe God and trust God that he will send that mate to you. Now, that doesn't give you, I got to break this thing down because, see, a lot of women are going to take this the wrong way and do the wrong thing. And what do I mean by that? A lot of women are going to go out there saying, well, God gave me the authority to call you my husband. No, he never gave a woman the authority to do that. He never gave that woman the authority, but he did give that woman the opportunity and authority to get prepared. He gave the woman the authority and the opportunity to get prepared for her bride. The husband, the man, now watch this. The Bible says a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So if you want to do it God's way, and I strongly encourage and suggest this, if you want to do it God's way, ladies, quit chasing these men. Let the men be the hunter and you be hunted. I don't like the way that sounds, but that's basically what it is. But the man is the hunter. He goes out searching. He goes out looking. He goes out working. And he's to find that wife. Because when he does it, what happens? Not only does he get favor from the Lord, but it also transcends unto the family. You want the power of God in your life? You can't operate outside of God's will. Doc, but you know, me and my girls, we kind of dress up and we dress down and we make up and we make down and do all these different things to attract these men. Stop it. See, I really wish that we could take makeup away. I really do. I wish we could take weaves away. Because as a can I get really personal with you guys? I'll never marry a woman with a weave in her head. Rewind. I won't say that. I'll never date a woman with a weave in her head. And I'm going to tell you why. You're putting on a mask. You're putting on a disguise. I want to see your natural hair. I don't care how short it is. That doesn't matter to me. I want to see your natural beauty. Women, do you not know that you are the most beautiful things that God has ever created? But yet and still we hide behind, or you all hide behind tons of makeup and mascara and lipstick and all of this other stuff and this weave and fake eyes and fake nails and fake breasts and fake behinds and all this other fake stuff. Look, check this out. Can I just keep it 100% real with you? I'm teaching tonight now. I'm trying to hope that you will catch something so that you can get that husband. I'm not trying to date a woman and then come to marry her. And when the day we get married, we go to the, we're in the marriage bed and she's pulling off these fake breasts and she's pulling off a fake behind. She's pulling off a, can't do nothing yet. Why not? Because I got to take my eyelashes off. I don't want to lose my eyelashes. Oh, Lord. Now you got to take the eyelashes. I got to take my wig. That's a wig? Well, you know, you didn't know it was a wig. Girl, you got a wig on your head. Yeah, that's not my real hair. And she pulls it. She's bald. I'm scared. You just scared me. Y'all quit laughing. Y'all stop that. But the thing about it is, you pulling all this stuff off. And then it's at the point where we're about to do something. And then next thing I know, well, wait a minute. Let me take this side off. She takes one side of her behind off. Let me take this side. She takes the other side. She got on a fake butt. What? Oh, no, this is not what I meant to marry. See, ladies, when you keep wearing all of this fake stuff, fake hazel eyes, you may attract him with the fakeness, but you better allow him to find you in your realness. That's just from me to you because I love you. I know I lost some folk on that. Y'all got upset, but that's okay. It's tight and it's right and it's true. Amen. So one thing that we've got to look at, and did I read this yet? John, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. This is coming out of the NIV, and I want you to look at this. And I would do whatever you ask in my name. Yeah, I did read this. I would do whatever you ask in my name so that my son, so the Son of Man will glorify the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. So now we know we've got to get in right relationship. I can't be shacking and think that this is going to work. It's not. I can't be in fornication and think this is going to work. It's not. I can't be stealing pens and paper and whatever and think this is going to work. It's not. I can't be a liar and thinking that this is going to work. It's not. It's just not going to work. Now, can I pull out some big guns and show you another reason why this is not going to work for a lot of people? It's not going to work for homosexuality. It's not going to work for lesbians. It's just not. It's not going to work for the individual that's continuously sinning and not repenting. It's not going to work. You can ask until you're blue in the face and you're not going to receive it. It just won't happen. Now, the word name here comes from a Greek word, onymous, O-N, O-M-A, Anonima. That means authority. It is similar to someone saying stop in the name of the law. We would say stop in the name of Jesus if the Bible told us. But if you realize you got the authority in Jesus' name at the end of the suffix of your prayer, and we seal it with that signet, well, guess what a police officer does? He says, stop in the name of the law. I've got the authority to pull you over to stop you under the flagship of law, under the color of law. Well, we've got the same authority by Christ, by God through Christ Jesus. You don't believe it? Look, let's look at the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Let's look at the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Uh-oh, there it is. All power. If he's got all power, then he's got all what? Authority. So when Jesus says stop sinning, it's time to stop sinning. When Jesus says it's time to put the brakes on this thing, then guess what? I better pull over and stop. Holy Ghost, arrest. Now we got to go a little bit deeper, though. The word power in this verse is referring to Jesus' authority. Romans 13 and 1 tells us that the ultimate authority of all things is God. Did you hear that? It tells us ultimate authority of all things is God. Therefore, in Jesus' name means that we are operating in the authority given to us by Jesus Christ. When I seal my prayer, when you seal your prayer in Jesus' name, amen. What you just said was, I have all authority given unto me by God through Jesus. And I'm operating in that authority given unto me. But the question now is, what power or authority did Jesus give us privilege of accessibility? What privilege? What authority? We know that the power of God operates in our lives is not a power of our own. When you speak life and not death upon a person, and all of a sudden they start seeing, or they start hearing, or they start walking, or they start talking, that power did not come from you. I tell people all the time, I have no mystical or magical powers within me. But what I do have is all authority and power from God to bring a change. See, we got to start to operate and understand what it is that we're operating in. See, too many people, and this is how folks get messed up. They come in, they go to church for 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, God is talking to me. And God is calling me to minister the gospel. Well, I'm an apostle now. What? You woke up one morning and God talked to you, and I believe he probably did. But he anointed you to be an apostle at the very onset of your ministry? I don't think so. God never called you to be a prophet at the onset of your ministry. You may walk in the authority of the apostle or the authority of the prophet, but that's not who you are. See, we all start off as evangelists. You all don't want that title for some reason. Then we get the title, the teacher, or the minister, or the pastor. Glory to God. Fivefold ministry. You have five positions. You have the evangelist. You have the teacher. You have the pastor, you have the prophet, and you have the apostle. You all want to jump straight from sitting in the pews to being the apostle, or straight to being the prophet. Those are two medals. I'll be honest with you. I never wanted that. I never wanted the position of the apostle. I did not. Because it comes with too much, well, not too much authority, but it comes with a whole bunch of responsibility. And see, people are taking these words lightly.
Well, you know, I don't know what Mark 1 and 3 says, but God called me to be an apostle. I'm an apostle, but I'm cheating on my wife right now, but I'm an apostle. I just got through robbing a bank, but I'm an apostle. Okay, well, put the brakes on. Holy Ghost arrest. We got to slow down, saints. And we got to quit putting all these titles before our names without even understanding what that mantle is. Do you understand what the job of the apostle is? Do you understand what the job of the prophet is? Do you understand the job of the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher? When you understand these positions, you may not desire them. But if God is thrusting you into those positions, he would never. Now watch this. Now we're talking about a power and authority. God would never put you in a position that he knows that you cannot handle or not ready for yet. Not saying that you will never get to that position, but there's a process. And see, then when everything just seems to crumble right before you and you're ready to commit suicide or you're ready just to give up and give in and quit, it's because you went from being a pew sitter. Amen. Come on. You know you were just sitting on that pew yesterday, and now today you're an apostle? Come on. It doesn't work that way, saint. It just doesn't work that way. Today, you're riding on an airplane. But tomorrow you're going to walk up to people and tell me you're the pilot? And you want me to get on that plane with you? I don't think so. I'm just not going to do it. Because I know you don't know how to fly. Uniform looks good. Dresses up nice. I'm telling you, when you don't know how to start that engine or how much degree of flap you must give that aircraft so that it will have enough power and lift to take off. Doc, do you know how to fly? Yeah, I know it. My mother's on the phone. She'll tell you I've flown planes many a time. But the thing about it is I never called myself the pilot because I was always in the teacher's position. I was always in the student's position. And so I learned how to fly aircraft. I learned what it took to start that airplane up. Same thing with law enforcement. When I became a police officer, the first thing they didn't do is say, here's a gun, go out and do what you got to do. No, I had to go through training and a lot of it. You know, before I even fired my weapon, I had to learn how to holster it. The proper way how to take it out of that holster, how to point it, and then how to discharge it. The same thing in ministry. You got to know when to pray, how to pray, what to pray for. You need to know what scriptures operate in that particular situation or scenario. Saints of God, we've got to stay in the lane that God placed us. Now, just because you're sitting in the audience today doesn't mean you won't be in the pulpit tomorrow, next week, or next year. It doesn't mean that you may one day be in the pulpit. But the thing about it is, take time to study, take time to learn, take time to allow the power of God to fully engulf you. Because the worst thing you can do is get into this position. Think that you failed. You may not fail, but you thought you failed. And the next thing you know, because pastors are the number 3 person on the suicide list. you take a gun and you blow your head off because you thought you failed. It wasn't that you failed, you just didn't study enough. Study to show thyself approved, my brother and sister. It's very simple. And then this power and authority will get inside of you and become a part of you, and you can operate in it, and then you can go out and do the work that God's called you to do. Are you guys catching hold to what I'm telling you tonight? Let's go forward. Matter of fact, let me do this. Because I posed a question. The question now is, what power or authority did Jesus give us the privilege to access? We know that the power of God operates in our lives is not a power of our own. This power is from God, and it flows through us in various manifestations. Look at the book of Acts 3 and 12. Study that. The power of God. Now, we said earlier that the ability and authority that we have come, ability or the authority that we have comes immediately and directly from God. After all, God is omnipresent. And who could possibly have the authority over the universe than one that created it? Satan doesn't have that power. Satan does not have the power. Satan didn't build the earth. He did not create mankind. He didn't have that power, though he was the archangel. He didn't create heaven. He didn't create earth. He didn't create man. God did. God is all powerful and has all authority. The power of God is the ability, or it's the absolute and infinite ability and authority that resides within you. It's his absolute infinite ability. I want you to read this. Study the book of Acts 10 and 38, Luke 9, 1 and 2, Luke 10 and 19, Mark 16, 15 through 18. And when you start studying these scriptures, you're going to start to learn the power that you can possess through God. You know, the first of the above list is really a particular, is one of my particular interests. Acts 10 and 38. I love this scripture. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with his Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Uh-oh. Now, this is the same power that God said that you can have through his son. See, when you start to read this book and you start getting these nuggets, when you start getting these recipes of life, you're going to start operating in a different way of life. Oh, you can still have fun. Don't get me wrong. You can still crack jokes and do whatever. I do. But the one thing about it is, when it's time to get serious and do the work, you're ready for it. You can strap your bootlaces up and go forward and not look back. God gave Jesus the power and the authority to deal with the oppressed, to pronounce healings over people's bodies and lives. Consider that this verse of scripture tells us. Consider what it tells us. One, God anointed Jesus. Two, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, dunamis, i.e. ability. Three, Jesus used that power to heal all who were oppressed by the devil. And number four, God was with who? Jesus, his son. A father's always going to be somewhere close to the son. Always. A good father is going to always have enough love and compassion and care enough to want to be there with you. We also know that Jesus empowered his disciples and gave them authority to do the work of ministry. In addition to that, we know that the disciples were, they were endued with power by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Oh my God. Where is the time going? Are you guys catching hold to this? Are you starting to understand why now you're saying in the name of Jesus at the end of your prayer? See, a lot of times it's, well, that's what mama does, that's what daddy does, that's what the pastor does, but do you really know why? Well, now you do. Because you're giving all power and authority in that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You didn't say in Gregory's name, amen. You didn't say in Connie's name. You didn't say in Beverly's name. You said in Jesus' name. Why Jesus? Because he has all the power and authority given unto him by his Father. And he graciously gives it back to us. Tonight, I'm just here to teach you. I'm here to love upon you and to show you. Because we're going into, you thought you'd been living in perilous times. My brothers and sisters, you ain't seen nothing yet. You have not seen anything yet. We're about to take a back. Okay, we're going to take a step backwards in life. I'm so serious about this. Russia is already showing you. You can't teach the gospel in Russia anymore. You can't come from America and on your passport you say you're pastor such and such, and I'm here to teach the word of God. Well, guess what? You're going to jail. You better be ready. You better be ready, prepared, and able to spend the last days of your life in prison. I'm here to tell you, this is what is about to happen. It's already happening. Russia's already put it there. Who's next? Who's going to be next? Who's going to implement this same process next? Africa? Turkey? Istanbul? Where is this going to go? How far will this go? Well, it's going to go to all corners of the world. That's why we've got to put this word in our hearts. We've got to study unrelentlessly. When I give block of instruction like this, this is a time for you to really take copious notes. And if you did not take notes, I challenge you and I plead with you, go back and listen to the archive message because it is going to teach you something. And you'll probably hear something in the archives that you didn't hear me say on the first set because you were doing something else. You may have to feed the baby during that part. You may have to use the bathroom and stepped away for a second. But I'm challenging you, my brothers and sisters, to take this word, implement this word, get this power, get this authority under you, and allow God to operate through you. Amen? Amen. I'm going to break it right there for tonight, and there'll be a part three to this. We will do a part three to getting God's power in your life. I pray that this word, this message, this block of teaching has strengthened each and every one of you. If you are here live or if you're going to be listening by way of the archives, that you take this for what it is, a time of study, a time of learning, and it's also a time of adjustment. Because you must adjust to what's going on in and around you. So that pastor that was on a flight today going to Russia and didn't know that he's got to check in with the Kremlin over there, guess what? He may go to jail. I don't know if they're going to give a period of grace. I don't know. But if you go in Russia right now and you start speaking to unbelievers about Jesus Christ, you're going to jail, you're going to pay a fine, and they, I don't know what this punishment thing is that they're talking. Heck, I thought jail was punishment. But they said jail, fine, and punishment. I guess they're going to beat you. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, don't give up the word. Don't give in on the word. Stay focused on God. These things are already prophesied in the Bible. We knew this was going to take place, but what we did not know is when. Now we do. It's here today. It's here on November the 14th, 2016. Now what are you going to do? You better study even the more. Because life as you know it as a believer in Christ Jesus just got a little bit more tougher. And it's time for the real saints of God to stand up, shake off the dust, and start working out with this word. Some of your Bibles, look, you may have had that Bible for 10 years. That thing looks brand spanking new. You ought to see mine. You ought to see most of my Bibles look like they're just 50 years old. And some of them are close to being brand new, but they look so used and worn out. Because that book is meant to be open and read. I love you guys, and I need you to get to this place. It's a struggle out here. But the struggle gets a little bit easier when you have all power and when you have all authority that comes from Christ or comes from God through Christ Jesus. Amen? If you're listening by way of computer, you can call into the broadcast now. The number is 657-383-0157. Once again, our telephone number is 657-383-0157. If you have a prayer request, a praise report, or if you have a comment on tonight's teaching, you're more than welcome to press 1 on your telephone, and we'll pull you right on up. I'm here to tell you tonight, saints of God, there's no reason why you shouldn't be questioning some of this teaching. I would ask questions. I would ask questions. If there's something that you're unsure of, ask. This is your time. Let's dialogue together. That's why this is an interactive radio broadcast. There's no reason why you should leave this radio broadcast in the unknown. No reason. If you don't understand something, trust me, I'm going to love you enough to tell you the answer. I really will. And if you need prayer, you're in the right place. If you're in need of desire, or if you desire to give a praise report, you're in the best place. Because we're going to love you. And we're going to believe God with you. We're not here to hurt anybody or downgrade anybody, but we're here to uplift each and every one of you. I love you all so much. I really do. And I want the very best for you. So once again, the telephone number is 657-383-0157. If you're on the line right now with us, then press 1 on your phone. If you have a prayer request, praise report, or a comment on tonight's teaching, don't make me keep begging because I'm going to hang up in a few minutes. I promise you. I'm going to bed. But I want to pray. I do. Don't let my voice go to waste. I want use me. Use me. Use Evangelist Beverly Howard. Use us to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Quiet in Radio Lab. That's okay. I love you anyway. Amen. Well, I tell you what. One thing I want you to do, saints of God, and that's to keep our dear sister lifted up in prayer. And that's none other than Pastor Eve Moore. Make sure, because remember, she was supposed to be on last week, and she fell ill and had to be rushed to the emergency room. And I keep meaning to reach out to her, but I have not as of yet. Bad, Apostle, bad. So I'm going to reach out to her sometime tomorrow, see how she's doing. Hopefully she's feeling so much better. So you keep praying for her. You keep praying for me, because I need your prayers too. I really do. Keep praying for this ministry. And tell somebody about us. Don't keep us as your little secret in the corner that you call in on every Monday and Thursday nights at 8 p.m. No, tell everybody you know. I challenge you all to inbox every one of your Facebook friends and say, hey, you want to check this out? Amen. Well, I tell you what, we're about to get out of here with a praise party, never a pity party, always knowing that Jesus is Lord. Okay, y'all always wait till I'm about to hang up. Let's go over to area code 601-573. God bless you. You're on. It's time to pray. 601-573.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
No problem.
Good evening, Apostle. I want to say God bless you, too. I enjoyed your program. I tuned in at prayer, and I got all of the message. And it was quite interesting. All of the words. I love that. And I wanted to know, when are you doing part three?
When am I doing what?
Part three. You said tune in for part three.
Oh, part three will be Thursday night.
Okay.
Excuse me, Monday night, next Monday. This Thursday, evangelist Jerry Robinson will be coming on teaching. And then part three of this will be on Thursday night. Excuse me, I keep saying Thursday, Monday night. So this coming Monday, I'll be doing part three to this study.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting us know.
Oh, you're so welcome. Did you have a prayer request or anything?
Well, prayer is always in order. I think you prayed that when we heard this message that it would go deep into our hearts. I would like to say that this is the right now rain word for me because the Lord has promised me that more of his power and authority. So just to hear this word reiterated, drilled in my spirit, man, you know, it's just food. So,
my God.
And I want to say that you had me laughing when you were talking about food.
Amen.
It was quite hilarious. So that's good that, you know, I really enjoyed it. I just want to say I really enjoyed this message.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you laughed. I'm glad that you received. And I'm glad that you're willing to receive God's power. And I'm going to pray this prayer for you tonight. Excuse me. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, this is your daughter that is desiring more of you. Your daughter that is willing to receive of you, Father God. Now I ask that you pull away every veil, every blinder, Lord God, every blind spot that's been hindering. Father God, I thank you in advance for the victory in her life, and I ask that you give her the power and the authority, the dunamis power, Lord God. Allow her to have the will to do what you have called her to do. Allow her to have the authority that you give freely to those who have right relationship with you. Father God, from this day forward, I thank you in advance for the victory as she walks by every morsel of your word and that she stands firmly and proclaim salvation in every direction that she faces. Now, God, I thank you in advance that every hindering spirit, I don't know why, Lord, but whatever it is that's been hindering this, your daughter, Lord, I call it off of her right now. And I ask, Lord God, that you place her in the position to receive. Lord God, a position that you can pour out unto her and she can receive it, but not only from you, Father God, but from those who are friends and family. Lord, allow her to be a reciprocal that is able to take in what is given to her. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you so much. And it's through your son, Jesus of Nazareth, that I pray this prayer. Amen. 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 Sister, now, when I was praying that prayer, God said, just open your hands.
Say again?
Just open up your hands.
Yes.
And start to receive. He said, because I've been pouring out, and it's been some of it's been going to the left, some's been going to the right, some's been going upon you. He said, but if you open your hands, you can receive it all.
Yes. Yes.
Now
that's confirmation because I have been such a giver, 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 giver.
Yeah.
And the Lord is teaching me how to receive. And that's a hard thing to learn. I mean, it shouldn't be for me.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know what? Mm-hmm. You have such a beautiful spirit. You really do. And
well,
God is about to do something so supernatural around you, through you, and with you. It's just going to blow people's minds. It really is. The next level is upon you. The next level is upon you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, my sister. I love you so much. I want to go. Now, you may be calling in from Skype or some other type of avenue, but the number that comes up on the phone is 111-111. God bless you. You're on. It's time to pray.
Yes, God bless you, Apostle. I just wanted to let you know that quite a few months ago, you prayed for my daughter and myself when we called in, and she was having an issue, or she had an issue with fibroids, and she wanted to save her uterus. I think Sister, the evangelist Christian, was on along with
Christian,
you.
Karen Christian.
Yes, yes. And you did pray for my daughter, that you did, and you even had said, I think you should go to John Hopkins. Isn't John Hopkins in your area? And my daughter said, yes. And you said, well, why don't you think of going there? You know, and you know how this was maybe almost a year ago. But don't you know, it turned out where she ended up going to, she found one of the very good specialists, because other doctors wanted to give her a hysterectomy right away. But this specialist from Johns Hopkins said that she felt that she can go in and do surgery and save her uterus, because she never had had children, which we were telling you. And you're the one that felt to tell her that, and she did. Many months later, ended up in John Hopkins, and she's home now. She had a very successful surgery. They were able to save her uterus in terms of not giving her a hysterectomy. They found over 12 fibroids, 7 pounds of fibroids in her uterus. But she knows that the Lord was with her and guided the doctors and helped her. She was very afraid. She put the surgery off so many times. She was trying to find different doctors. And you know that we really thank you for your prayer, even though we hadn't been listening. I periodically listen. But it just worked out where she ended up at Johns Hopkins, and they did a wonderful job through the Lord giving them the knowledge and the wisdom to do their medical healing. And just wanted to let you know tonight. I didn't really want to say her name or my name. I didn't know if she wanted me to tell, but I didn't want to listen to you and not let you know that your prayers are listened to and your lessons, and we really appreciate you and all that you do. And we're also praying for you and your health as well.
Amen. I receive that. Wow. Wow. You know, and I remember when that was, when you and your daughter, when we prayed. I remember that night. Because you're right. I told her, I said, you guys got to get to John Hopkins University, and
now,
everybody else tried to take the
this
uterus.
This was before she even had mentioned, you know, where she lived. You just said, you just mentioned John Hopkins, you know. And then she said, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Apostle, because I am in Maryland. I do live in Maryland, you know, but you had mentioned the Johns Hopkins first before you even knew where she lived, you know. So, and she said later, she said, you know, it's kind of funny how he mentioned that, John Hopkins, you know. He didn't even realize I lived in Maryland or anything, but you were telling her, you know, right straight out. You said, you know, I feel, do you know anything? Are you near, or do you know about Johns Hopkins? You know, you mentioned it. And I tell you, she was there. She just came home on the weekend. She was there quite a few days because she developed a fever after the surgery, but everything turned out well. And the specialist said that her uterus is fine and everything looks well, you know. So I just wanted to let you know tonight. I just wanted to make sure you knew that. That
and
your,
I thank
your
God
blessings
for you.
To us.
I thank God for you. I really do. I thank God for you. Matter of fact, let me just do this real quick. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I say thank you. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for a love fest. Thank you for you being God all by yourself. Thank you for being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank you, Father God, for this mother that stood in the gap for her daughter. Thank God for the daughter that understood that she could have life and have it much more abundant. Now, Father God, I ask that you touch her womb, Lord God, so that in the time that she needs to, she can become impregnated. Father God, to give birth to a prophet for the nation. Father God, I thank you in advance that you will touch her mind, body, and soul. Lord God, that you will continue to allow her to walk and not be afraid. Father, I thank you in advance for the victory in her life, and it's through your son, Jesus of Nazareth, that I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, bless the name.
Amen.
God bless you, Mom. I love you so much. And you
I love you,
Do me a favor. Tell your daughter to call in and just say hi one day, okay?
Okay, yeah. I'll do that.
Amen. God bless you. I love you so much. Let's go over to Sister Evangelist Beverly Howard. God bless you, Evangelist.
God bless you. I just wanted to share this with all the true apostles, the true prophets, pastors, teachers, as well as evangelists. And this is coming from Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he gave them right standing with himself. And going over to verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for the sake we are killed all day long, we are encountered as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So I am persuaded, hallelujah, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, no height nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the word of God.
Amen. Amen. That comes from Romans 8:28. Evangelist Beverly Howard, I love you so much. God bless you, woman of God. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Is there anybody else tonight? If you have a prayer request, a praise report, if you have something on your heart, it doesn't matter what it is. This is a Love Fest Monday, and I've got something so important to tell you all on Thursday night. Boy, it's going to shock your soul. It really will. But if you have anything you'd like to share tonight, do you have a prayer request, a praise report, or a comment? It's your time. Press 1 on your phone, and we'll pull you right on up. Everybody's good? Praise. Maybe y'all asleep. I don't know. Or you can't hear me, right? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right, well, with all that said, well, then I'm going to say goodnight to each and every one of you. You know I love you. Make sure that you tune in every Monday and Thursday night. This Thursday night, we have Minister Jerry Robinson that's going to come to your front, and she's going to teach like never before the oracles of God. So make sure that you're tuned in right here on It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. You keep praying for me, and I'm going to keep praying for you, and we're going to get through this with God's love. Let's get out of here with a praise party, never a pity party, always knowing Jesus is Lord. Love you much till we meet on Thursday night. God bless.
about you, but yeah, I need a little bit more Jesus just to help me along the way. Want to say thank you for each and every one of you for tuning in for another live broadcast of It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. I love you so very much. Make sure that you tune in this Thursday night, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll do it all over again. God bless you all. I pray the joy of the Lord be your strength this night and every night to come. God bless you. Love you much.